This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network analyst.
Around the pole and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mully Ann Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Peter Gammons joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Peter.
I'm doing really well. That was It was a wild night of baseball last night. There's something about Carlos Correa. There is something really special about that guy. I mean, always has been. He's been hurt a lot and so forth. But there's something about him that's pretty amazing. I actually, the year he was drafted, I was staying in the same hotel in Secaucus, New Jersey, as some of the young players. He was there. He was 16 at the time. Having breakfast with him two mornings in a row, I felt like, I mean, this guy was like 25 years old. He was so mature. As it turned out, he graduated first in his class at the age of 16 and had over 1,000 on the college boards growing up in Puerto Rico and never had anything but an A in his life. So he is different. I think he has a chance to, if he can stay healthy, emerge as a really dominant star as young as he is. So it'll be interesting. It's also amazing that Baez, Lindor, and Correa all came out of Puerto Rico in the same draft.
Wow, what a group of players. That's incredible. That's a lot of defense and a lot of power and all the rest of it. Peter, when we look at what's going on with the Dodgers right now, and obviously Clayton Kershaw had a very rough outing, and that's not news. Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs is not like the guy during the regular season. Do you immediately look at that and say this is going to be something that people have to consider, even though he's had a Hall of Fame career?
I think it will be. It'll cause him to be. He's not going to be Tom Seaver when his name goes on the ballot. It's not going to be that simple, but I really feel bad. He's such a phenomenal person and very smart, very complex. But the numbers, when you go, okay, he's got a 243 lifetime ERA in the regular season. He goes to 368 in the wild card and division series, 484 in the championship series, 540 in the World Series. There is that. I'm not a believer that your whole career should be based on what you do in October. But at the same time, I kind of go, it's not quite what you love. I mean, Maddux's wasn't great. Glavin's wasn't great. I get that. But they both won 300 to 350 games. I'm not sure Clayton's going to get there because of different physical issues.
Peter, this is the stage the White Sox want to be at as early as next year. That's why they changed managers. That's why they're pursuing a guy to get them over the top. Tony La Russa's name has come up this week as somebody they've received permission from the Angels to talk to. He's been out of baseball 9 years. I'm sure that you know Tony well. What are your thoughts on the White Sox pursuit of Tony La Russa and the likelihood or possibility of that happening?
I think if Jerry Reinsdorf wants him, Tony will go. Tony still believes he can manage. I think he requires and needs a really good staff, but I think Rick Connor would convince him of, okay, you know, I have a really good, young, hardworking staff to go with you. And hopefully, you know, he was, Tony was the manager in St. Louis when there were a lot of White Sox people who were around that club. And I've always sort of found it interesting. I remember that I was doing a Baseball Tonight for ESPN from Jupiter, and he let me announce that Joe McEwing was going to make the major leagues finally after his minor league career on TV. So there's a relationship there between Joe and Tony. And Joe's like the perfect assistant manager. I think he'd be a very good major league manager myself, but he'd be the perfect guy with Tony, and then they get the coaching staff. One thing I found really interesting, I was listening to discussions about how Tampa Bay has completely changed baseball because of the way they use the ball. They have so many different looks. And, you know, I mean, with all due respect, they just didn't follow baseball much before 2015, I guess, because, I mean, I go back to Gene Mauch and people like that who very carefully had their bullpens right-handed, left-handed, different looks, all that stuff. But I mentioned that the Buck Showalter was always a fanatic about that, having all the different looks and so forth in bullpens. And he said, I obviously study managing. He said, nobody in my lifetime comes close to Tony La Russa for the way he used the bullpen. He revolutionized the game. He said Tampa Bay does a great job, but I mean, it was Tony La Russa, all the different looks, right-handed, left-handed, Nelson and Catteray and all these different guys that he used in Oakland leading up to Dennis Eckersley. And I think it's probably still there. I think it'd be really interesting. The White Sox are so close to being really good. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with a couple of young pitchers in time, but I mean, they can find bullpens. We've seen that from all these teams in the playoffs. Most of the guys in the bullpen are guys that they picked up. You know, you just lined up like seven guys that got released in the minor leagues. They throw 95 miles an hour, teach them a couple of pitches, and they arrive. It's an amazing thing. But they can do that. I think it'd be very interesting. I mean, I think any of the guys that have been mentioned, whether it's Tony, Alex Cora, and I live in Boston. I don't know. I think he's going to come back to Boston, but I don't know. A.J. Hinch, of course, has the prior relationship, a longstanding relationship with Rick Hahn. And he's a really good manager, too. And they'll all be very interesting to see, you know, how they all fit there. I think it's the right time for the White Sox to do so. And I think, I think it'd be really fun. I'd love to see it. I mean, I find the White Sox and Cubs are in really interesting divisions in that the White Sox are obviously the arrow is moving up. But you kind of look at the rest of the division. Minnesota is probably going to be very good again. But, I mean, it's only so much that Cleveland can lose and stay competitive, especially with their really difficult revenues. And coming off this season, their revenues are going to be really just—it's a barren cupboard, and I just don't see the other teams in the division being that good, that strong. Kansas City's growing; it's going to be very good in 2 years, but you know it's time for the White Sox to take it. And I look at the Cubs, and they have so many tough decisions based on veteran players and so forth. But you look around and you say, Milwaukee's not better than it was 2 years ago. I mean, and that trade with Grisham and Davies was a disaster. Cincinnati loses Bauer. They gave away Gausman. I mean, where are they going? And St. Louis, the stars of this postseason were let go by the Cardinals. Ozuna and Arosa, I have a little trouble saying it, but we all know the Cuban Missile. I mean, they let Ozuna walk, and that they made the deal with Tampa. And the Cardinals couldn't score runs this year. So, you know, where are they going to get that offense back? I don't know. So the Cubs, with the right offseason, can all of a sudden come back and be really interesting and get at least, you know, winning 90 games. And if 90 games gets you there, that's all you have to worry about is getting into the playoffs and then seeing what happens.
Yeah, Peter, you know, on the north side of town, we keep looking at what's going to go on with Theo. And, you know, he was very forthright in his kind of end of the season news conference, and he talked about setting the team up for the future, and he talked about completing the final year of his contract. He didn't talk about re-signing or having a long-term plan to stay in Chicago. What do you think happens?
I think Jed Hoyer takes over, assumes more and more responsibility next year and takes over. I am a huge Jed Hoyer guy, so I've known him since he was originally an intern in Boston, and he is a very brilliant guy. He's very, very clear-visioned and methodical, and I think he'll be very good. Hopefully Jason McLeod will move up, and maybe Jed will be the club president and Jason will be the general manager. I think it'll be an interesting I think there's a continuity there that will work very clearly. And, you know, they're going to have to deal with, at least for a year, they're going to have to deal with payroll cutbacks and so forth. But what's so interesting about the game right now is we really haven't heard many teams talk about it. Agents think it's going to come back to being normal right away. Wrong. It's just not happening. And, you know, with all the non-tenders that are going to happen, I mean, we have a chance to have 200, 250 players on the market this winter, which means if spring training opens on time and between the coronavirus and the labor agreement, there's no guarantee of that happening. But let's say it opens on time. We may have 75 players left out on the market come the end of March. And so it's going to be an ongoing, what can I fit in here? Well, what are we looking at in terms of TV revenue? What are we looking at projecting our attendance? You know, for the Cubs, you know, how are all the ancillary businesses, the hotels and so forth in Cubsville, how are they projecting? So it's this is one of the most uncertain years, probably the most uncertain year in baseball since 1976, when in December of 75 they got the Messersmith-McNally decision came, and every player in baseball was a free agent until the All-Star game, when they finally came to a labor agreement. So it's an interesting one. The player that I really focus on, and this really troubles me, and I have to admit, because I think so much of him, I can't figure out exactly where Chris Bryant's at. I always think of that smile on his face. He's feeling a very tough play to win, you know, since 1908, you know, in the rain and all the rest. And that smile, that joy of being there, oh, it's so great. They hit the ball to me with a World Series on the line. And I don't see that now, and I don't know why. Things I think have eaten at him more than, the physical problems of it, and maybe he can't play at the level all the time that he wants to. But I don't see the same joy. But he's so young, it could come back. And I just, I naturally hope that it all comes back for him this next year. There's a friend of mine who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, who was a tremendous baseball pitching prospect, actually has signed a 4-year deal with the Orioles and then went back to the Bucks. Pat Connaughton always says that he figured out at one point playing for the Bucks, coming off the bench, but doing all that role that he does, that he's finally, when he was complaining once about being taken out of a game, he sat on the bench and thought, you know what? Ever since I was an 8-year-old kid shooting at a little wire basket that my father put up on the garage in Arlington, Massachusetts, I wanted to be in the NBA. That's why I turned down the baseball to play in the NBA. And where he's able to return himself to being 8 years old again. And it's sort of, I hope that Chris Bryant can find that kind of joy. Daniel Bard found it in Colorado this year. Had a great year after being out of baseball, being out of the major leagues for 8 years. And, you know, it can happen. And so hopefully that happens. And I'd love to see it in Chicago because I know Chris loves Chicago, but I'm not sure it will happen there. But I think he's one of the most interesting stories in baseball. And I think of these other guys and I think, you know, Chris could do this too.
Peter, have a great weekend. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, Peter.
You too. Okay. Thanks a lot.
That is Peter Gammons.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.